You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome back to Schmunker on 99.94. My name's Mark Machado. We are going to preview Schmunker series of India. But before that, I want to wish you a happy new year. Of course, I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Varzi-Devon from thepapray.com. Estelle, happy new year to you.
Happy new year, Mark, and everyone who's listening.
Hope you had a good Christmas and New Year's. We won't get into that because cricket has started as soon as the year's got off. Sri Lanka are currently in India getting ready for the series. They've got to play three T20s and then three ODIs. It's a big year, as always, for Sri Lanka cricket because we've got an ODI World Cup that we're building towards. If we get to it and we qualify to it, which will be in India. So this is an important part of the preparations. Estelle, let's get straight stuck into it. What are your thoughts on the squad? There's a few players being dropped from the previous squad against Afghanistan and a few players coming in. Let's get your thoughts to start the year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty decent squad, isn't it, for both the ODIs and the T20s. Like you mentioned, a couple of names missing from the previous Afghanistan series. But I don't think it's that much of a change or that much of a surprise. Just looking overall at the two squads, they look pretty strong. Of course, it's going to be a really challenging two series, I think, because even with the best of teams, Sri Lanka have not managed to kind of, you know, win against India in India. So this is going to be challenging. But I think with a nearly full-strength side, Dhawan Shanaka's team will be expected to at least be really competitive in the three ODIs and three T20s.
Yeah, the two kind of players that I think are worth talking about being dropped are Dhananjay Lakshan and Chandimal. Let's talk about Lakshan first because we've talked about him quite a lot over the past few months. There is quite a big expectation about what he may achieve as a cricketer in the coming year's time. I thought it was a bit of a left field decision to bring him back into the squad for Afghanistan. Though, you know, the times I've seen him play, the bits of domestic cricket or development team cricket I've seen, I've been quite impressed. He came in, I was kind of surprised they didn't give him many opportunities. He played that first ODI. He was playing for the second, but the second ODI got washed out, so didn't really do much. He got dropped from the third. Of course, Walalagay seized the opportunity and scored those, you know, was part of that vital partnership right at the end to win us that game and draw the series. But I think it's worth talking about the fact they've dropped him because it looked to me like he was somebody they were looking at for ODIs. He didn't have a particularly great Lankan Premier League. It just shows really how quickly things change in Sri Lankan cricket at the moment. You know, you can be in one squad, you don't perform in that opportunity that they've given you, you don't perform and seize the moment in the Lankan Premier League, and then suddenly he's out of the squad, right?
Yeah, that's a strange one, I think, Dhananjay Lakshan, because I think we spoke about it in one of our previous episodes also about what his role was in the side. Obviously, he was replacing Chamika Karunaratne, who is back in the squads again. But personally, I don't feel like he got the opportunity to really prove himself or do something because he wasn't bowled that much and he didn't get to bat in the last game. He didn't play in the last game. So it feels like he wasn't really given a fair opportunity to prove himself. Similarly, in the LPL as well, he couldn't make that Colombo playing 11 during much of the tournament. So it's a very strange thing because we discussed before as well, like during the Durham, you know, that series in England, he seemed like he was beginning to be an important part of the team, or Sri Lanka were looking at him as someone who they would want in the team going forward. But then he kind of disappeared and he reappeared all of a sudden against Afghanistan. And again, he's out of the squad. So it's interesting to see, or I would love to know like what the thinking is behind it, because it didn't seem like he really got a proper opportunity to really show what he's capable of, or to show whether he's in form or not. Because like I said, the Afghanistan series, he didn't get much to do. And then LPL also, he didn't feature in that side for much of the tournament. So if I was him, to be honest, I'd feel a bit, you know, hard done by, because, I mean, there's only so much you can do given like 3 to 4 overs in an ODI and getting to bat like at number 8 or number 9, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The other player who's been dropped, who I want to spend a moment on, is someone who is possibly the most divisive person in Sri Lankan cricket, at least definitely still playing. That was Dinesh Chandimal. Right, Chandimal had an incredible LPL. He was the third top run scorer. He was in the squad against Afghanistan, though we didn't see him play. I think, as my memory serves me correct, he was in the previous ODI squad. That was the last time Sri Lanka played ODIs before that as well. He's been a pretty consistent part of ODI squads, at least, for since this time last year. He's also, you know, people say it's a different format. I think he's the only test player to have scored over 500 runs last year who's got a test average of 107, which I suppose is kind of over 100 in a calendar year, which I suppose is a bit moot anyway. The reason I bring him up is because, firstly, I'm kind of surprised he's still in the ODI. He was in the ODI squad and didn't play. I'm also surprised at people's reactions to it, because there was a clip from one of the previous episodes where we were washing up the LPL, talking about whether him and Matthews and possibly Tisra Pereira should be considered for white ball squads. And we posted that on socials, and people went absolutely crazy at me. And I wasn't, I just want to take the moment to say, I have nothing to do with picking the squad, sadly. But I do think if we're talking about these white ball squads, which we are, you've got to talk about him in it, because he's been in recent ones, relatively recently. It's different with Matthews and Tisra Pereira, because they haven't featured in the white ball squad, I don't think, since 2019. But Chandimal has been in and around the squad. And actually, when you look at it, you look at the numbers, I think it is kind of strange that they decided to drop him right now. I wonder if that's an indication of that maybe, you know, the selectors think that this squad is starting to mature and they don't need those more senior players.
Yeah, I found it interesting that they would include him in previous squads, because he hasn't had, let's be honest, right? He's had the opportunities. It's not like Dhananjay Lakshan. He's had the opportunities over the years. He hasn't performed. I mean, for a guy who started off with so much promise, his record is nothing to speak of, right? In limited overs cricket. So I was kind of surprised when he kept getting picked. I would say for this squad, I think one of the reasons that he doesn't feature is the fact that we've got Avishka Fernando back in, and Chandimal seems to be getting a lot of his domestic runs in the LPL and other domestic tournaments, batting at the top of the order. So I don't think at the moment there's a position open for him in the top 3 or 4. When you've got someone like Avishka Fernando coming in, and with the sort of form he showed in the LPL, you'd expect him to slot straight back in, either opening or at number 3. And then you've got Pathum Nissanka and Kusal Mendis, who again have got these, who have had good years. 2022 was good, particularly I think for Kusal Mendis. I think it was one of his better years in limited overs cricket. So when you look at that, I just think that he doesn't have a place to slot in, which in my opinion is the main reason we don't see him in this squad. But personally, I mean, it's quite unfair to him, in the sense that he had such a fantastic year in Test cricket and he looked to be in such good form, and then Sri Lanka don't play Test cricket for 6 months. So like, it's really unfortunate for him that he doesn't get to kind of, you know, build on that form and get some runs and get you know, possibly even some records under his belt. But that doesn't mean that he should necessarily slot into the limited overs squads, because, like I said, it's particularly the position that he bats in, right? He shouldn't be making that team ahead of some of the younger players that they have picked this time. So I think just looking at things in with that perspective, I think it's a very fair decision to leave him out. He's obviously a talented player and he's a fantastic test player. He has been in fantastic form, but I don't think that should necessarily have a bearing on whether he makes the limited over squads.
Let's talk about the players that have been selected. But before we do that, let's take a quick break.
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
It's definitely worth following 99.94 on whatever platform you're on, because it is the best way to stay in touch with all the cricket, right? Journalists who cover almost every single major test nation. And I'm sure within a few months, it will be every single major test playing cricket nation. So if you want to stay on top, you want the insights into the game, then that's the way to go. But you're kind of, you're halfway there. You're here already. Estelle, let's talk about the players who have been selected for the squad. Who are coming into this squad again. Avishka Fernando hadn't played cricket since, I think, February last year, February 2022. He had quite a sensational return to the game in the LPL, where he was scoring runs right at the top of that Jaffna Kings batting lineup. He was with the Gurbaz, who had just an incredible strike rate. Where does Avishka fit into the side, and how are they going to move it all around to fit him in, to get him in?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if he does make the T20 team, because that side, at least at the top of the order, seems somewhat settled in the top 3 to 4. I mean, even 5 and 6 when you think about it, right? So that batting order seems to be quite settled. So I wonder where he will fit in, or whether they will fit him into that team. Maybe Dhananjay De Silva is the one who will make way, but that's difficult to say, particularly, again, like I've said so many times before, his bowling is what makes him kind of, an almost must pick in that T20 side, particularly when you're playing in India. But in the ODI team, I would hope that he comes in, Avishka comes in as opener and Kusal Mendis drops back into number 3 or number 4, as he had been before Avishka's injury. So, yeah, really interested to see the T20 team. I don't see him replacing either Kusal Mendis or Pathum Nisanka, so it at the top of the order. So it'll have to be beyond that. But from what we saw in Sri Lanka's last competitive T20 series, the World Cup, everybody kind of had average tournaments. Everyone in that batting order. You had Dhananjay De Silva getting some runs, Charit Asalanka getting some runs, looking pretty decent in the latter part of that World Cup, and also he had a decent LPL as well. So it'll be, I don't think he will make it into the T20 side, at least not in the first game. But ODI team, definitely he should slot back into the opening position and see the others kind of move one down.
There's, I think, two players we need to discuss is Barnika Rajapaksa, who it appears to me just doesn't want to play ODI cricket. That's fine. That's his choice. He's going to be playing a lot of franchise cricket this year. I think he'll be, or he is due to be involved in, is it the Dubai Capitals in the new UAE league that's starting up, and he'll be playing in the IPL as well. I think he's still, this time a year ago, we talked about how he was the only player that Sri Lanka has that does what he can do. I think there's potentially a few players emerging who could take that role, but I still think he's quite far ahead of everyone else, right? In being that big hitter, that kind of finisher. The only other person who's kind of around in that area that Sri Lanka have is Dustin Chanakha, I think, in terms of players you can tee off right from the get-go and show that intent to score big runs and finish innings or chase their large totals, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the area that Sri Lanka have struggled with, haven't they, in the past few years? Or, I mean, not even in the past few years. We've always struggled with that type of batter. And you didn't see too many players step up in that area during the LPL as well. So Bhanu Rajapaksa had, I would say, by his standards, a terrible LPL. He didn't do anything with the bat. Dustin Chanakha had a decent LPL. But nobody else really, like you said, I think the key thing here is guys who can really get going right from ball one. And if you look at the squad that Sri Lanka have picked, you've got guys like Sadhira Samarawickrama, Nuwanida Fernando who have been picked and I think deserve an opportunity in that lineup. But both of them are the type of players who you would expect to see somewhere in number three or number four where they have a bit of time to build an innings and then get going. Nuwanida Fernando in particular, I was really impressed by the way he batted in the LPL. You know, he seemed to have that gear in him where he can really pick up. But again, he didn't show an ability to kind of get going right from ball one. And I think that's where, you know, someone like Bhanu Rajapaksa keeps getting opportunities because he's one of those guys who can do that. I'm a bit disappointed that he's not available to the ODI squad because I feel like Sri Lanka can benefit from a player like him, particularly going into a World Cup. But of course, that's his choice. If he feels like he's you know not prepared to play 50-over cricket, then that's up to him. But like you said, the advantage is maybe he gets to play a little bit more franchise cricket, which helps Sri Lanka in the long run, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about seam bowling options. We know our spinners will be Tikshana and Hasaranga will be our kind of two frontline spinners, I suppose. DDS he's more than capable to bowl a couple of overs. And if, you know, need be, Asalanka could even bowl a couple. And I'm sure there's a couple others in there who might fancy a few overs if the need arises. The question is, I think, is, you know, Chimera is still injured. Do we go with Madushankar right from the off? We haven't seen him play much cricket since the Asia Cup. Or does he, you know, do they look at another option as well? And I'm guessing if they're going to play Chanakha and Dustin Chanakha, that they maybe only have one seam option for most of the games across the whole six matches.
Yeah, again, I think that'll be something that'll be interesting to see, like what the tactics are, because like in India, you don't expect the pace bowlers to have much of an impact. But at the same time, if you look at the likes of Kasun Rajitha, Lahiru Kumara, they have looked good in the past couple of months, right? Rajitha in particular had a fantastic LPL again, has looked really good in limited overs cricket, which I don't think a lot of people expected because he was very much kind of earmarked as a test bowler. But given the injuries Sri Lanka have had in the fast bowling lineup over the last few months, he had to kind of come in. And even during the World Cup, he was pretty decent. So they do have a few options. Nuwan Tushara is another one who I think should be in that T20 side. So whether they go with two or three, so we have to kind of consider, right, whether Chamika Karunaratna just comes straight back into the side when you've got Dunit Vellalage. So do they play the conditions where they expect the ball to spin a bit more and give that third spinner a role in the team? Or do they go for the fast bowling all-rounder? That'll be an interesting one, I think, particularly for the ODIs, because again, remember, we are building up to a World Cup in India. So within three games, I think Sri Lanka have a lot of kind of work to do in terms of making those little choices, what they want to do. Do they want the third spinning option or is that going to be DDS? But then DDS does need to get some runs under his belt if that is the case. He had a I think, a poor year last year. He had a couple of good innings.
Who, DDS?
But nothing. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Last week I was speaking to his father on this podcast, and now I've got his mother on the
Yeah, I listened to that. And I was thinking, yeah, you know what? He didn't have a great year. He's basically hanging on to a position in the limited overs team because he's such a useful bowler, right? But with the bat, which is his primary role in the side, he has had a couple of good innings, but overall nothing, you know, spectacular, right?
So I think you need to look at it in the context of what Sri Lanka were doing, like in the context of the games when he's come in and got those runs. I think in the World Cup, I thought he was, you know, he was good. And all right, maybe he hasn't fulfilled the potential that his parents, Jared Kimber and Estelle Vazidevan, have for him. But I think he's quite often got runs when other players around him have struggled. And I think in the World Cup, he's in games that we've lost, he's made scores look respectable.
In favor of picking him, is that, like you said, he does make runs in difficult conditions. That is one major thing about him, is whether it's pacey conditions or whether the ball is spinning a lot, he does seem to get runs in difficult conditions. So that is one, I think, key strength that Sri Lanka will look at when it comes to kind of deciding whether they want him in the side or not. Because you see a lot of guys who either can't play spin or are suspect against good pace bowling, but he seems to be good in both aspects. So that'll be important, I think, in that middle order, particularly with India kind of having a pretty decent bowling lineup.
I'm also, as much as I like Walalagay, I'm not entirely convinced with him as a spinner in terms of I put him somewhere along the same kind of in the same, you know, I think DDS is a much better spinner and off the ball than Walalagay is at this stage of Walalagay's career. I, of course, have the highest expectations for Walalagay and expect that over time he will, of course, get a load of wickets for Sri Lanka. And I hope he proves everything I've just said wrong. The other thing I will say, Estelle, is I think me and you have been doing this too long to try and predict any sort of Sri Lanka 11. Absolutely, who knows from that squad he could end up starting, right? And I think we've given up trying to do that.
I think this time, if you look at the squad, you know, whichever options they take, I don't think anything would be kind of out, like you wouldn't term anything outrageous or, you know, unbelievable, because it's a pretty decent squad. So I think in the six games that they play, they will need to do a bit of experimenting, because I think if you're being realistic, Sri Lanka is likely going to have to play those qualifiers, right, for the ODI World Cup. So I think it's important in this series to kind of get the combinations right and look at what you want to do in the qualifier and then hopefully the World Cup.
Yeah, so I think if you're preparing the team, from a coaching perspective, you've got to be prepared and be ready mentally within yourself to be going to Zimbabwe, but you've also got to be telling the players, we're going to go to New Zealand, we're going to win all those ODIs over there because, you know, Sri Lanka always won in New Zealand. And we're not going to have to qualify and go to the qualifiers in Zimbabwe. But I think you're right. I think we've got to be, as fans and the people around the team, we've got to be prepared and ready that we're going to be in these qualifiers to try and get to the main event. Estelle, let's take a quick break. When we come back, because we've got comments from people watching on YouTube, let's read them out. I might even say Lahiru Kumara's name for Michael. And also give our predictions for this series.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, K. KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So Estelle, let's read some of the comments first, then let's talk about India, because there's a lot going on with this India team at the moment. And let's give our predictions. Yash has got in touch and said, how many times are we going to watch these two in a pointless ODI T20 series? I'll be honest, Yash, I absolutely love it. If you're an India fan, if you're an Australia fan, I think you're going to, if the 29, I read a stat earlier today saying that of the 29 matches Australia currently have booked in for this calendar year, and obviously that this is outside the World Cup, I think 20 of them are going to be against India or England. Surely that's repetitive. I think Sri Lanka have quite a broad range of teams that we end up playing. And, you know, occasionally we lose unexpected games like Namibia. Are you sick of playing India, Estelle?
No, I'm not. I think a lot of Indians got sick of playing Sri Lanka a couple of years ago when Sri Lanka were playing pretty much every other series against India. But we don't play them that often anymore, do we? So should be interesting. And I think if you look at teams that do well outside World Cups, India is one of the top teams, right? At least in the top three there. So I think there's no better way that Sri Lanka kind of can test their skills or test where they are rather than play a team like India. And also, again, the World Cup is in India. So this is not a meaningless series. It very much has a lot of importance to what is going on currently. So from a Sri Lankan perspective, I wouldn't call it pointless. I think I don't want Sri Lanka to be losing every game. Then it would seem pointless. But you know, it's a good kind of yardstick to measure against playing against India, who are generally good outside World Cups.
Michael's asked me to say Lahiru. It is in my accent, which I've now done twice for you, Michael. I hope you're enjoying it. SS98 has said Sky. He's a threat to Sri Lanka. Get him out early. That's a good point to segue into a quick discussion about this India squad. Firstly, I think everyone here on Sri Lanka 99.94 and everyone on 99.94 DM wishes Rishabh Pant all the best in his recovery. And, you know, hopefully it's not too long before we are seeing him playing some sort of cricket again. But Estelle, India seems to be going through a crisis moment. This is potentially quite a good time for Sri Lanka to go over, right? Because they sacked all their selectors. And I think I'm right in saying that they had to bring those selectors back to pick this squad. Though I'm not entirely sure why they need to do that. I mean, they could have just gone and got five random India fans from Twitter who would have had a good understanding of who should make the squad. And in in scenes reminiscent to Sri Lanka a couple of years ago, they have now implemented some fitness tests, some yo-yo tests, and some time trials, and all sorts. I'm not sure if Mickey Arthur's consultant and brought his calipers in, or what's quite going on. But it could be a good moment for Sri Lanka to be going over there, right?
Yeah, I think the thing is, though, right, that India is, you know, you lose a Virat Kohli, you have a Surya Kumar Yadav, right? There is an endless kind of line of talent in India. So I don't think that Sri Lanka would be going into this kind of thinking on, oh, you know what, they're weaker side now, or they're kind of not a weaker side, but, you know, there's some stuff going on off the field. So that would give Sri Lanka an advantage. But I do think it's a good time to go in there for Sri Lanka, particularly because for once, the Sri Lankan squad seems to be nearly full strength. I think if you look at that team, probably Chamira is the only one Sri Lanka is really missing. So I don't think there's a better time for this era of Sri Lanka cricket to be going to India because you very rarely get them, you know, full strength, right? You rarely have Sri Lankan fast bowling lineup with no injuries. So in terms of that, I think it's a good time to go in. But like I mentioned earlier on in the episode, right, we've had teams with Murali, Vaas, Sangakkara, Mahela, Sana Jayasuriya go to India and lose. So I don't think that Sri Lanka will be thinking, oh, we're going to go there and win 3-0, right? But I think they should be competitive, particularly seeing how... I think they were disappointing during the World Cup. So seeing how that went and during the Afghanistan series as well, they didn't get the result that they wanted. So with those two kind of tournaments or those two series not going to plan, I think they will be a lot more determined. And maybe they've had a little bit of time. The coaching staff have had a little bit of time to kind of assess the roles again and, you know, what they want from particular players and what they're looking for from newer players like Samara Vikrama, Nuanidhi Fernando, Tushara, even Jeffrey Van Der Say. I mean, he's been in kind of like a traveling reserve, right? Everywhere. He hasn't played much with Hasaranga, kind of obviously a first
lots
choice.
Lots of passport side. Stamps for him and lots of blisters sitting on the bench.
Yeah. Poor guy, I mean, and you have to feel for the guy because last year he was, I think, the top wicket taker in ODI cricket for Sri Lanka. So, you know, maybe this kind of period during the LPL was a good time for the coaching staff also to kind of assess what they want from each of these players.
Estelle, let's finish this off by, I'm going to put you on the spot here and go, expecting Sri Lanka to win either the ODI series or the T20 series, if we kind of break it down into two?
Expecting to win the series, I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, one of the two series, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough because, like I said, you know, even the best of Sri Lankan teams have gone there and struggled. But I do expect them to be very competitive. And I say this with like 50% is expectation and the other 50% is hope. I would think they would not lose either series 3-0. So maybe at least one win in each. I think Sri Lanka have to be realistic as well. Obviously, they are going in wanting to win. But I think the kind of the big picture is preparation for the World Cup, right? So just getting the combinations right and getting the roles right should be the priority going into the two series.
I think if we come away winning either of these two series, I think we've done incredibly well. I think for me, this is still a team that is maturing and growing, and you can almost see that series or World Cup or tournament or whatever it is on tournament. We probably slightly overachieved winning the Asia Cup a few months ago, but I still think it's within our power. You know, some of these players have been about a little bit now, and it's within, you know, we've got the talent. If we just need to pull it together, we can come away with one of these series. If I could pick one of the two with a World Cup on the horizon, I'd say the ODI series.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry, evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous leaders, odds makers, and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.